Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with our final study in Isaiah chapter 13. We'll be covering the last three verses, 20 through 22. I'll begin by reading verses 20 through 22, and then we'll go into the introduction and then take each verse one by one. Well, let's begin at verse 20. It states, "It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures. And owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there. And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged." In these last three verses of Isaiah 13, verses 20 through 22, we see a great contrast. On the one hand, we are told that Babylon is no longer inhabited, and it won't be dwelt in from generation to generation ever since the day of Yahweh began on May 21, 2011. In agreement with this, we are told that neither the Arabian pitches tent there, neither the shepherds make their fold there. Yet, on the other hand, we are told that Babylon is still inhabited in the day of Yahweh, for we are told that the wild beasts of the desert lie there, and their houses are full of doleful creatures. Owls dwell there, and satyrs dance there, and the wild beasts of the islands cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. How do we account for this contrast? And what does it all mean? These are some of the questions to be addressed in this final study on Isaiah chapter 13. Well, let's look at verse 20 by itself by first reading it once again. It states, "It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there." In this verse, we first read, "It shall never be inhabited." What this is telling us, or I should say, what this is letting us know, is that on the day of Yahweh, which began on May 21, 2011, Babylon, which is this world and all churches, would no longer ever be inhabited. Why? Because there's no longer any hope for Babylon to become eternally saved. For salvation came to an end on May 21, 2011, which means that all of Babylon is now guaranteed to remain spiritually dead in Adam, and thus spiritually uninhabited, which in turn means that they are all also guaranteed to soon physically die forever on the last day, when all those who are in the graves and unsaved, and all those who still remain and are unsaved, will come forth to be eternally damned into the darkness of eternal death through annihilation. Indeed, because the eternal death of this world and the eternal death of all the churches is so guaranteed ever since May 21, 2011, Yahweh considers them to already be entirely dead and thus uninhabited, as Yahweh calls those things which be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. For all those in the world and all who remain in the churches are already spiritually dead in Adam, with no hope of eternal salvation. And they are all also soon to be destroyed forever on the last day of the day of Yahweh. Yes, Babylon is never to be inhabited again. But not only will Babylon never be inhabited again, ever since May 21 of 2011, but we read, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Basically, this is saying the same thing as when we just previously read that Babylon will never be inhabited. For if Babylon will never be inhabited, then neither can it be dwelt in from generation to generation. And if Babylon will not be dwelt in from generation to generation, then neither will it ever be inhabited. So, why does our Lord basically say the same thing twice in two different ways? As we read in Genesis 41, verse 32, and for that dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. That is, when Yahweh says that Babylon will never be inhabited, or that it will not be dwelt in from generation to generation, ever since the day of Yahweh began, He is saying that this thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. There is no way of escaping it. Babylon would someday soon become uninhabited forever. And we now know that this already spiritually took place when the day of Yahweh began on May 21, 2011, because no one in Babylon can now be saved, which means that they are all guaranteed to remain spiritually dead in Adam. And thus Babylon is now spiritually uninhabited, as there is no spiritual life to be found therein. Furthermore, Babylon will also soon be physically destroyed on the soon-to-come last day of the day of Yahweh, when this world goes up in flame. And so Babylon is not only already spiritually uninhabited, but it will also soon be physically uninhabited as well. But now we are told that neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there. That is, the Arabian will not make their abode or home in Babylon, which, as we have said before, is this world including all churches. But who are the Arabians being referred to here? We know that historically they represent the peoples descended from Ishmael and Esau who lived in Arabia, the region east and south of Judah and Israel. And you can click on the link to see an ancient map of Arabia. But who do the Arabians, that is the Arabs, spiritually represent? Well, both the Arabs and the Jews are all descended from the same father, Abraham, so they are actually brothers and sisters of the same extended family. And since we know that Abraham's descendants through Isaac and then Jacob typified the saved Christians, or true spiritual Jews, of the Church of Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:29, then Abraham's descendants through Ishmael and Esau, being of the same family, must have typified the unsaved Christians or false spiritual Jews of the Church of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the Arabs are a type of, or spiritually represent, the temporal or unsaved part of the Christian Church, which in our day refers to all the Christian churches worldwide from which the saved Christians or true spiritual Jews have all long since departed out from in obedience to their Lord's command. So when we read in our verse that the Arabians shall not pitch tent in Babylon, we are being told that the unsaved Christian will not make their abode in Babylon. That is, in this world, including all the churches. And why is this? Well, because ever since May 21, 2011, salvation ended, which means that the Arabian, that is the unsaved Christian, is now so guaranteed to remain spiritually dead in Adam, and thus incapable of spiritually abiding or living anywhere because they are dead, and the unsaved Christian is also so guaranteed to be destroyed on the soon-to-come last day of the day of Yahweh, that they are already accounted as dead by Yahweh, who calls those things which be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. Truly, never again will unsaved Christians be able to make their abode in the Christian church in this world, as only the eternal church, which will be permitted to continue into the new heaven and earth, while the unsaved temporal part of the church is already spiritually dead and thus uninhabited, and it will also soon be exterminated forever in the fires of annihilation on the last day. But not only will the Arabian, that is the unsaved Christian, not pitch tent in Babylon on the day of Yahweh, which we are now in, because the unsaved Christian is already accounted as dead, but we are told that neither will the shepherds make their fold there. Neither will the shepherds make their fold there. Literally, it reads, neither will the shepherds lie down there, is what it actually says in the Hebrew. The shepherds refer to the ones who oversee or pastor the Arabians, that is the unsaved Christians. So the shepherds are all the pastors and leaders of all the Christian churches worldwide that we now see. But what does it mean that neither will the shepherds lie down there? Well, it means the same thing as it meant that neither will the Arabian pitch tent there. Namely, that the pastors and leaders of all the churches who are all Arabians, that is unsaved Christians themselves, will not make their abode in this world nor in all the churches. Why? Because all the shepherds are accounted as already dead as of May 21, 2011. Indeed, with the end of salvation on this date, all the shepherds of all the churches worldwide are so guaranteed to remain spiritually dead and so guaranteed to die forever on the soon-to-come last day of the day of Yahweh that they are already accounted as dead by Yahweh, who calls those things which be not as though they were. So, all the shepherds of the Christian churches can no longer lie down to make their abode in Babylon since the day of Yahweh struck on May 21, 2011, because they are all accounted as already dead. They are all spiritually dead in Adam already, and they will all soon be destroyed on the last day of the day of Yahweh. Okay, let's move on to verse 21. Verse 21 of Isaiah 13 reads, "But the wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there." Here we first read, "but wild beasts of the desert shall lie there." Actually, the multi-worded noun "wild beasts of the desert" does not appear in the Hebrew like that, but rather the single word "desert creatures," desert-creatures, does. Our verse literally reads, "but desert creatures lie there." The idea that desert creatures lie there in Babylon on the day of Yahweh, ever since May 21, 2011, is that they make their home or abode there. And what do desert creatures symbolize? Well, a desert spiritually represents this world during this time of Judgment Day because no water can be found. That is, the water of the gospel is no longer going forth to save people ever since May 21, 2011. So this world is a spiritual desert. And since spiritually speaking, a desert is a place with no water of the gospel, a desert creature would be a creature who has no water of the gospel. They are creatures which have no salvation. And who are these creatures in this desert of a world that now have no possibility of salvation? It is all those people who are unsaved in the world. Billions upon billions of people. These people are the ones symbolized by the term desert creatures. So when we read, "But desert creatures lie there," we are being told that the unsaved people lie there. That is, unsaved peoples make their home there in Babylon. That is the world, including all churches, which is exactly what we see today. All the saved have departed out from Babylon, including all churches, into their own spiritual land, while all the unsaved have made their home in Babylon, that is in this world, including all the churches. Now, how do we make sense of all this? I mean, in verse 20, we learned that Babylon is now uninhabited because, spiritually speaking, ever since May 21, 2011, all the people of Babylon are now guaranteed to remain spiritually dead in Adam. And it is now also so guaranteed that all the people of Babylon will be destroyed on the last day, that Yahweh considers it already done, as he calls those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. But then we read in verse 21, or we learned, that all the unsaved people of Babylon, that is the desert creatures, make their home in Babylon. So verse 20 says that Babylon is now uninhabited by the unsaved, while verse 21 says it is inhabited by the unsaved people who make their homes there. How can we understand this? Well, by recognizing that each verse is coming from its own unique perspective. Verse 20 comes from the perspective of seeing Babylon as uninhabited because no one in Babylon can now become saved. They are all dead spiritually, and thus Babylon is uninhabited in that spiritual sense. While verse 21 comes from a literal perspective of seeing Babylon as it now actually is until the last day, namely still inhabited by the unsaved. In fact, we can say that Babylon by definition consists of all the unsaved people in the world. Well, we now read in our verse, "And their houses shall be full of doleful creatures." That is the houses of the unsaved in Babylon. "Their houses shall be full of doleful creatures." That is the houses of the unsaved people of Babylon during the day of Yahweh that we are now in is full of doleful creatures. The word doleful means mournful or sorrowful. And so what we are being told is that the houses of the unsaved in our day are full of mournful or sorrowful creatures. The creatures, of course, being unsaved people. And why are they portrayed as being mournful or sorrowful? Well, because there's no longer any hope for salvation. No, it's not that they are literally mournful or sorrowful, because we can look around in the world and see many people that just go along with their lives and everything seems to be fine and happy. But this is a word picture meant to express their eternal condition, which is a condition of mournfulness or sorrowfulness because they can no longer be eternally saved. They are therefore in a mournful condition, even though they may be as happy as a lark. Indeed, even if their households may be full of happy people, their eternal condition is truly mournful or sorrowful because any happiness they have cannot last for long as they are all soon to die forever on the soon to come last day of the day of Yahweh. So no matter what the emotional state is of the unsaved in this day, their eternal condition is truly mournful or sorrowful, because they cannot ever be eternally saved, and neither can all the unsaved people in their houses. Yes, their houses are full of doleful or mournful, sorrowful creatures. But not only are the houses of the unsaved full of mournful or sorrowful people on the day of Yahweh, but owls, we are told, dwell there in Babylon during the day of Yahweh as well. Literally, our verse reads, daughters of the owl dwell there. Daughters of the owl dwell there. Owls here are an unclean bird according to Jewish law, Leviticus 11, 13 through 17, and they are another representation of the unsaved people of Babylon. The unsaved people are called daughters of the owl because they are unclean in the eyes of Yahweh. They have not had their sins washed away through Christ, and so they are unclean like owls. Then we read that satyrs dance there. Satyrs dance there. I guess that's how you pronounce the word satyrs. It's satyrs or satyrs. I'll say satyrs. So our verse says satyrs dance there. Satyrs is better translated as hairy goats. And the word dance can be translated as skip about. So our verse now better reads, hairy goats skip about there. Goats, we know, are symbolic of the unsaved in the Bible. And in fact, they are the hairy goats symbolizes that they are wild or untamed goats, which is just another way of saying that they are unsaved. For a saved person is tamed by their obedience to the word of Yahweh, but an unsaved person is considered wild because they have not been tamed by the word of Yahweh. They simply do what their hearts desire. And as we read in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Therefore, the unsaved end up doing wicked things because they have wicked hearts. When we read that they skip about, it most assuredly means that they skip about or dance from sin to sin as they play in the playground of their wicked hearts. Indeed, hairy goats, that is the unsaved, skip about to play in the sin of Babylon. Finally, the last verse that we'll cover in Isaiah chapter 13 is verse 22. Verse 22 reads, "And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged." In this verse, this last verse of Isaiah 13, we first read, "And the wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses." The wild beasts of the islands shall cry in their desolate houses. More literally, and this is quite a bit different than the way the King James translates it, but more literally, it reads like this, "And it," the desert howlers, "cry in its widows." The terminology "wild beasts of the island and in their desolate houses" does not literally appear in the Hebrew text, and I can only speculate as to how the King James translators came up with all this, but once again, our verse literally reads, "And it," the desert howlers, "cries in its widows." But what does this mean? We already learned that the term desert creatures in the previous verse is a reference to the unsaved people in Babylon. And since the desert howlers, like the jackal, hyena, and perhaps the owl, are desert creatures, we can conclude that desert howlers also refer to unsaved people in Babylon. The idea of them being howlers of the desert is symbolism to reveal their mournful or sorrowful condition in there no longer being any possibility for their salvation ever since May 21, 2011. But what does it mean that it, that is these unsaved people, cries in its widows? In response, we must consider these unsaved people's condition before May 21, 2011 and after. First, before May 21, 2011, the unsaved had the possibility of not forever being widowed from Yahweh because it was then possible that they might be saved and thus be married to Yahweh. But ever since May 21, 2011, it has no longer been possible for any of the unsaved people of Babylon to be married to Yahweh through salvation. Therefore, in a sense, the unsaved people of Babylon must all remain widowed from God ever since May 21, 2011, in that they can no longer be saved, and thus they cannot be spiritually married to Yahweh. They are indeed widowed from God in the fall of Adam. And when our verse says, it, that is the desert howlers, cries in its widows, it is simply another way of saying that the unsaved people of Babylon, ever since May 21, 2011, cry or howl in mourning over there not being salvation any longer, which is seen in that Babylon is full of widows or spiritually fallen people from God. Of course, the unsaved people are not literally crying or howling in mourning for having no possibility of salvation, but this is simply a word picture to express their actual mourning and sorrowful condition. Now, continuing with our verse, we read that dragons cry in their pleasant palaces. Dragons cry in there. There is not actually in the Hebrew, but dragons cry in pleasant palaces is what we read. The word translated as dragons can also be translated as serpents, believe it or not. And all of us know what serpents represent in the Bible. They represent people who are under the power of Satan and his evil demons. For instance, we read in Matthew 23, verse 33, that the scribes and Pharisees were serpents, for Jesus says to them, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" This lets us know that people who are under the influence of Satan and his spiritual forces can be called serpents or dragons. And so when our verse says dragons cry in their pleasant palaces, we know that the dragons are people under the influence and power of Satan. And this could be any unsaved person because they are all under Satan's influence to one degree or another. But now we read that these dragons or serpents of the unsaved cry in their pleasant palaces. First, why is it that they are described as in pleasant palaces? And second, why do they cry? Well, they are described as in pleasant palaces because these dragons or serpents being described are those who dwell in luxury. They, like the Pharisees and the scribes, are the rulers of the people, typically, who are rich and powerful, and as such, they are afforded luxurious houses or palaces. But nevertheless, they are described as crying in these pleasant palaces because it is the day of the Lord and there is no more possibility of eternal salvation. Even though they live in riches, they lack eternal salvation. So they are pictured here in Isaiah 13 as crying or howling in grief and despair for lack of salvation. Of course, once again, they're not actually crying or howling in grief or despair, but this is simply a word picture to express their spiritual condition, which is one of grief and despair due to there not being any possibility for salvation ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Now, finally, the last section of our last verse read, "And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged." And her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Here, the word translated as her in the sentences, "her time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged," is referring to Babylon. And so what our verse is saying is that Babylon's time is near to come and Babylon's days shall not be prolonged. In other words, in the time of Isaiah the prophet, when Isaiah 13 was written, Babylon would soon come under judgment, which it did in 539 BC. But we know that this literal judgment on Babylon was a type of the spiritual judgment that came on the world, including all the churches, on May 21, 2011. Therefore, in that Babylon's time was near to come, and Babylon's days would not be prolonged, refers to the time leading up to May 21, 2011, when the prophets of the Lord, that is His elect, who were typified by Isaiah, foretold the coming judgment on Babylon, that is on this world, when Yahweh would remove any possibility of salvation from off the face of the earth. But now that we are in the day of Yahweh after May 21, 2011, we have the vantage point of seeing Babylon already spiritually destroyed and her physical destruction soon to come. So in the physical sense, Babylon's time is still near to come, and her days will still not be prolonged when on the last day of the day of Yahweh, Babylon is physically destroyed forever in the fires of Yahweh's wrath. In conclusion, what we have learned is that spiritually, Babylon became uninhabited when the day of Yahweh began on May 21, 2011. This was due to salvation having come to an end, which guaranteed that all those in Babylon would now remain spiritually dead in Adam, and hence incapable of spiritually inhabiting anything. So, we can say that Babylon became spiritually uninhabited ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. Furthermore, Babylon also became uninhabited when the day of Yahweh first began, because it then became so guaranteed that Babylon would soon be destroyed on the last day of the day of Yahweh, that Babylon became already considered to be destroyed and thus uninhabited by Yahweh, who calls those things which be not as though they were. We were told that neither the Arabians pitch tent there, nor do the shepherds lie down there, which meant that the unsaved Christians do not make their abodes there, neither do the shepherds of the unsaved Christians make their abodes there, because as we already stated, Babylon became spiritually uninhabited on May 21, 2011, as well as having become already considered destroyed by Yahweh, who calls those things which be not as though they were, Romans 4:17. But then, we were told that even though Babylon became spiritually uninhabited and considered uninhabited on the day of Yahweh, wild beasts of the desert lie there, and their houses are full of doleful creatures. This meant that desert creatures, which symbolizes unsaved Christians, make their homes in Babylon, and their houses are full of mourning or sorrowful people. They are called mourning or sorrowful creatures because their spiritual condition is one of no possibility for salvation ever since May 21, 2011. Then we were told that owls dwell in Babylon and satyrs dance there. Owls represent unclean people who have not been saved, and satyrs is better translated as wild goats, which once again represents unsaved people. So we are being told that unsaved people dwell in Babylon repeatedly, and these unsaved people skip about or dance there as well. This idea of skipping about or dancing is that the unsaved jump or dance from one sin to another as they follow their wicked hearts in Babylon. Finally, ever since the day of Yahweh began, on May 21, 2011, we are told that the wild beasts of the islands cry in their desolate houses, and dragons cry in their pleasant palaces. This verse is better translated, the desert howlers cry in their widows, and serpents cry in their pleasant palaces. In that desert howlers cry in their widows means that the unsaved people cry in that there is no more possibility of salvation. And in that serpents cry in their pleasant palaces in Babylon means that the rich and powerful unsaved people are said to cry in their luxurious living places because salvation is no longer possible for them. So even though these serpents or unsaved people may possess everything in this world, they are still pictured as crying because they are unsaved with no possibility of salvation. What a terrible time that we are now in. But thanks be to Yahweh for rescuing a remnant of people out of Babylon before May 21, 2011, into their own spiritual land soon to be revealed on the last day of the day of Yahweh, when a new heaven and earth will be revealed, where the elect will dwell forever under the loving care of their Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Now until then and forevermore, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.